This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه وخليله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. One of the natural emotions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within us is love. We grow up loving and we live our lives loving people around us. We love our parents, we love our spouses, we love our children. We love those people who throughout our lives we become close with and we develop a connection with them. And at the same time, it is also part of human nature that we crave that others love us as well. We crave the approval and love of others, and we hope that throughout our life we will earn their respect and their affection and their love, be they people who we are close to from our family members, or be they people who we come into interaction with and we hope that they approve of us. It is a human desire to want people to approve of you. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, the 31st verse, that greater than the love that we have for one another and greater than the love that we expect others or want others to have for us, far greater than all of this is the love that we should have for our Lord and Creator Allah, and the love in turn that we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Ali Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if you truly love Allah, then follow me, meaning follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah will love you in return and he will forgive you for your sins, and indeed Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. This verse of the Quran has many wisdoms and many lessons that we can extrapolate from it. From amongst the greatest of those lessons is that one of the surest ways of attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by following his sunnah, following his example and his way. Yet a more fundamental issue that is mentioned in this verse is the concept of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For us to love Allah azza wa jal means that we sacrifice everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We submit our will to Allah azza wa jal. We sacrifice our desires and our wants and our preferences for that which Allah has commanded us to do, for that which Allah Azza wa Jal wants from us. And not only do we do it because it's a burden or an obligation that Allah has placed upon our shoulders, but we do it with the love and the sincerity and the certainty and the hope and the fear that we have within our hearts. And in doing so, we hope that in return, Allah Azza wa Jal will love us. So what does it mean when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his creation, loves a person? The Qur'an, and throughout the Qur'an, you will find that Allah azza wa jal says that he loves certain people. He loves the muhsineen, those people who do good. He loves the muttaqeen, those people who have taqwa. He loves the people who are sabireen, those people who show and exercise patience. But what does it mean when Allah azza wa jal loves those people? And how does it relate to me and you? Allah's love, when he loves his creation or he loves a person from amongst his creation, It denotes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's approval for them. Allah azza wa jal will shower His blessings upon them, and He will shower His mercy and forgiveness upon them. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, He loves me and you inshaAllah, that love means that He guides us to that which He is pleased with. And He safeguards us from that which will incur His wrath and His anger and His displeasure. When Allah azza wa jal loves you, He guides you to only that which will benefit you in this life and the next. That is the meaning of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we spend in our lives so much time and so much effort in trying to gain the love and approval of many people around us. Yet if you were to spend that same amount of time and effort in gaining the love of Allah Azza wa Jal, then not only would it benefit us in this life and the next, but Allah Azza wa Jal will automatically, as a result of this, we would have the love and approval of those around us. Because their love is secondary and it is complementary to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave us two hadith to show and exemplify, highlight the love of Allah that He has for His creation. The first hadith, which is collected in Sahih al-Bukhari on the authority of the great companion Abu Hurairah radiyallahu an, that our Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, narrating a hadith al-Qudsi, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَالْ مَنْ عَادَى لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ وَمَا يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يُبْطِشُ بِهَا وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ وَمَا تَرَدَّدْتُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ أَنَا فَاعِلُهُ تَرَدُّدِي عَنْ نَفْسِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَكْرَهُ الْمَوْتُ وَأَنَا أَكْرَهُ مَسَاءَتَهُ. An amazing hadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith al-Qudsi, whosoever shows enmity or opposes one of my awliya, one of those people that Allah loves in this world, then he has waged war upon me. He has waged war upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my slave or my servant doesn't do anything that is more beloved to me, by which he can seek nearness to me, than the obligatory actions that I have placed upon him, that I have obligated upon him. And my servant continues to do optional deeds, nawafil, until I love him. And when I love him, and Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, when he loves someone, I become his hearing by which he hears, and his eyesight by which he sees, and his hand by which he touches, and his foot by which he walks. And if he was to ask of me, then of a surety, certainly I would respond. And if he was to seek refuge and protection in me, then certainly I would give him that protection. And there is nothing that I hesitate more about, Allah is saying. There is nothing that I hesitate more about than taking the life of the believer. For I know that he dislikes death, and I dislike to do that to him which dislikes him. What a powerful, amazing hadith. All of it revolving around the concept of who Allah loves. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, not only does He give them their approval, and when Allah azza wa jal says that He becomes their hearing and their seeing, it doesn't mean a literal seeing and hearing, but it means that through His divine care and protection and assistance, Allah azza wa jal guides that person, so that they only see that which pleases Allah, and only hear that which pleases Allah, and only touch and walk towards that which pleases Allah Azza wa Jal. And then even if they were to sin, because as humans we all sin, then Allah Azza wa Jal guides that person to turn back to Allah and seek forgiveness and make repentance to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the way that Allah Azza wa Jal loves people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this person to such an extent that even doing something to him which he dislikes, even though it is from the decree of Allah that every single person will taste death, it is something which Allah dislikes in relation to this person, because He knows that it is something which this person dislikes himself. In another hadith, also narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, and collected in the two sahihs of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, may Allah shower His mercy upon both of them, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا نَادَى جِبْرِيلٌ فَقَالَ يَا جِبْرِيلُ إِنِّي أُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبَّهُ فَيُحِبُّهُ جِبْرِيلٌ ثم ينادي في أهل السماء إن الله تعالى يحب فلانا فأحبوه فيحبه أهل السماء ثم يوضع له القبول في الأرض. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wishes to love someone, he calls out to Jibreel alayhi salam. And he says to him, O Jibreel, indeed I love so and so. Not that I love all of the Muslims in general, or all of the sabireen, all of the muhsineen, even though Allah azza wa jal does love them all. But relaying it to me and you, on an individual basis, Allah says, O Jibreel, I love so and so. And he takes his or her name. So love him, O Jibreel. So Jibreel loves that person because he knows that Allah Azza wa Jal's love for that person is more than enough of a reason. And his love of Allah demands that he loves that person. So then Jibreel alayhi salam, after loving that person, he calls out to the inhabitants of the heavens, to the other angels and the inhabitants of the heavens, and he says to them that indeed our Lord Allah loves so and so, so love him. So all of the inhabitants of the heavens love him. And then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once they love him, then acceptance is written for him upon the earth. When Allah loves you, everyone else will love you. When Allah azza wa jal loves you, others will respect you and others will admire you. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love denotes, and by necessity it means, that there will be acceptance for you upon the earth. When you look throughout the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from these two ahadith that I have just narrated to you, there are many other ahadith that speak about the love of Allah, the way that Allah Azza wa Jal loves His servants, and the actions and the things that we can do that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu an, which is collected in al-Bukhari and Muslim, he said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ عَلَى وَقْتِهَا ثُمَّ بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ ثم الجهاد في سبيل الله. The three most beloved actions to Allah is that you pray your prayers at its correct and proper time, and then that you show respect and honor to your parents, and then to make jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the correct, lawful, legislated jihad. In another hadith, a man from the tribe of Khath'am said in the Musnad of Abi Ya'la that the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِيمَانٌ بِاللَّهِ ثم صلة الرحم ثم الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. The three most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you have belief in Allah, and then that you join the ties of your family, your kinship, and then that you order the good and you forbid the evil. Just as the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that first hadith that I narrated to you, that Allah azza wa jalla loves that you do that which He has obligated upon you. There is no greater way to attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than to fulfill the obligations that Allah has placed upon your shoulders. And once you have fulfilled those obligations, then to do as much as you can from the optional deeds, from the recommended acts of worship in this religion of Islam. To further highlight this, in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. The most beloved of actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those which are most frequent, even if they appear to be small. That which you do regularly, like the five prayers, like fasting every year in Ramadan, like the other acts of worship that you do on a regular or semi-regular basis, that is more beloved to Allah, even if they seem small to you and insignificant to you. In another hadith, the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَن تَمُوتَ وَلِسَانُكَ رَطْبٌ مِّن ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The most beloved of actions to Allah is that death comes to you at a time whilst your tongue is moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you live a life in which you are connected to Allah azza wa jal. That your heart and your limbs and your tongue, they are moist with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you remember Allah in your heart, you remember Allah through your actions, you remember Allah through your speech and words. To further highlight this point in another hadith, in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَحَبُّ الْكَلَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ وَتَبَارَكَ اسْمُكَ وَتَعَالَى جَدُّكَ وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ. The most beloved of speech to Allah is that you say, glory be to Allah and all praise is due to Him. And exalted be the name of Allah. And exalted be Allah, and there is no God worthy of worship besides Allah. To make this type of dhikr is the most beloved speech to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another hadith, the hadith of Samura ibn Jundub radiyallahu an, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَحَبُّ الْكَلَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَرْبَعَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ بِأَيِّهِنَّ بَدَأْتِ. The most beloved of speech to Allah is four things. To say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And then the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it doesn't matter which of these four you begin with. These are the things which are beloved to Allah. And these are the things when you perform these actions, even though they seem to be small, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are great. But because they are so great and weighty, many of us still fall short. Even though they seem relatively easy when I say them upon my tongue, they roll off very easily, they sound very simple. But most of us struggle to attain this level because we have not yet attained that discipline and that strong iman in Allah Azza wa Jal that allows us to reach those heights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to love Him and wants us to sacrifice for Him, so that in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower His love and acceptance upon us. And if you look throughout the sunnah, it is not just actions and statements that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said are from the most beloved things to Allah, but there are many things that you find in the sunnah. For example, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا وَأَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. The most beloved of places to Allah is His masjids, the houses of Allah. And the most despised places to Allah are the marketplaces. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, in the hadith of Jabir radiyallahu an, أحب الطعام إلى الله ما كثرت عليه الأيدي. The most beloved type of food to Allah is that in which many hands partake and share. That which you share with others, that food is the most beloved to Allah. In that another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this time in the Sunan of Imam al-Tirmidhi, أحب الأسماء إلى الله عبد الله وعبد الرحمن. The most beloved names to Allah are the names Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. Throughout the Sunnah you find these types of ahadith. But all of them bring us back to that single central point that I began this khutbah with. And that is that we as humans, we crave the love and attention and approval of others. And sometimes in doing so we neglect the greater love that we should seek and the greater attention that we should seek. And that is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we should want and crave Allah to love us more than we want the acceptance and love from anyone else. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an wa sunnah wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima feehima min al-ayati wal-hikmah aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa li jami'il muslimina min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله على إحسانه والشكر له على توفيقه وامتنانه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له تعظيما لشأنه وأشهد أن نبينا وسيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله الداعي إلى رضوانه صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وإخوانه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. If you were to analyze the life of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and you were to study every single point and every single facet and every single issue in his lifetime, you would find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself, and in the way that he taught and nurtured and instructed his companions radiyallahu anhum ajma'een, and then by extension, the way that he wanted us, me and you, to live our lives, it goes back to that central theme of attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything we do in this life, the worship that we perform, the iman that we have within our hearts, the different struggles and sacrifices that we make, even if it is for our families or those things that Allah has made halal for us in this life, it is in that hope that Allah Azza wa Jal will shower His love upon us. Because we know that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us and He is pleased with us, then He will enter us into Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish someone that He loves. Allah Azza wa Jal will not punish someone that He is pleased with. And this is the goal of our life. It is our vision and our mission statement in this life, to attain that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you have attained that pleasure and love of Allah azza wa jal, then everything else in this life and in the eternity of the next life becomes easy for you. You will be successful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he spoke in his sunnah about the people that Allah most loves, not the actions or the statements or the places or the type of food, but the people, the comprehensive way that me and you should be, that we should act, the character that we should have, those people that Allah loves most. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Usama ibn Shariq radiallahu anhu, that is collected in the Mu'jam of At-Tabarani. He said, أحب الناس إلى الله أحسنهم خلقا. The most beloved of people to Allah are those best in character. Those best in character. The way that they speak, the way that they act, the way that they interact, the way that they react when other people come to them with their statements and their actions. Your character, the way that you hold yourself, the way that you show Islam externally and internally, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves most. And that's why the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there will be nothing heavier on the scales on Yawmul Qiyamah than good character. Something we take for granted. Something which we don't think twice about often. Yet it is one of the heaviest things upon the scales of Allah azza wa jal on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in another hadith, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, highlighting this point about the most beloved people to Allah. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أحب الناس إلى الله أنفعهم للناس وأحب الأعمال إلى الله سرور يدخله على مسلم أو يكشف عنه كربة أو يقضي عنه دينا أو يطعمه عن جوعا ولئن أمشي مع أخ لي في حاجة له أحب إلي من أن أعتكف في هذا المسجد شهرا وَمَنْ كَفَّ غَضَبَهُ سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَنْ كَظَمَ غَيْظَهُ وَلَوْ شَاءَ أَنْ يُمْضِيَهُ لَأَمْضَاهُ مَلَأَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ رَجَاءً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَنْ مَشَى مَعَ أَخٍ لَهُ فِي حَاجَةٍ لَهُ حَتَّى يَقْضِيَهَا لَهُ أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ قَدَمَهُ يَوْمَ تَزُورُ الْأَقْدَامِ. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the most beloved of people to Allah are those who are most beneficial to others. Those who are most helpful to others. And this here should make us stop and pause. The most beloved people to Allah are those who help others. Those who are most beneficial to others. Those who are most caring towards others. And then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the most beloved of actions to Allah is happiness that you enter into the heart of your fellow brother or sister. Or you remove from them some hardship. Or you repay for them a debt. Or you feed them because they are going hungry. And then he said, and if I, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I was to go with one of my brothers or sisters, a fellow Muslim, and I was to help them finish something that they were doing, remove some type of hardship from them, it would be more beloved to me than making i'tikaf in my masjid for one whole month. Not Green Lane Masjid, not a masjid in the UK, the masjid of Medina, Masjid al-Nabawi. The mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, whoever suppresses his anger, Allah will place his veil upon him. And whoever suppresses his anger, even though they may be able to exact their revenge or exact their anger if they chose to do so, then Allah azza wa jal will fill their heart with hope on the Day of Judgment. And whosoever walks with one of their fellow brothers or sisters, helping them in their affairs, then Allah azza wa jal will make their feet firm on the day that everyone else's feet will slip, meaning on the Day of Judgment. How amazing is this hadith? Simply to help another Muslim, simply to relieve some distress from them, simply to give them a meal or some clothing if that's what they require, or to assist them in some way, shape or form, it is from the greatest and most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said that if Allah azza wa jal forgave a person for all of their past sins simply because they found a thirsty dog and they gave it some water, then how about those who feed hungry people and water thirsty people and clothe and provide for the needy and the poor? Wouldn't Allah Azza wa Jal forgive them even more? Wouldn't Allah Azza wa Jal shower His mercy upon them even more? If this is the way that He treats kindness to an animal, then what about our fellow humans? And so it is in this regard, at the conclusion of this khutbah, that I want to stress this point about attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how in our lives it is one of the most crucial, if not the most crucial thing, that we need to strive for, to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in relation to this, and to the final hadith that I just mentioned, today's collection after Salatul Jum'ah, the proceeds from it will go to our brothers and sisters and the people of Nepal who are suffering because of the earthquake that took place there just a few days ago. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and the brothers and sisters, you too know, that we require your funds for this masjid, and we require your donations to help us continue the work of our masjid. But there are times and situations when things occur across the world that they also have a right upon us. And so we think that it is only appropriate and befitting that inshallah ta'ala what we have today from the collection of the Salatul Jum'ah, all of it will go for our fellow brothers and sisters and the people of Nepal. So I will ask you to donate generously and to give, understanding and realizing what I have just mentioned in this hadith, and also in the hopes of attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal by His most beautiful names and lofty attributes that He makes us from amongst those people who love Him and sacrifice our lives in the pursuit of love for Him. And then in return that Allah Azza wa Jal showers His love and His blessings and His mercy and His forgiveness upon us, not just upon us, but upon our families and our parents, our children, our spouses. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He relieves the difficulty and hardships of all of the people across the world, our brothers and sisters, in places like Syria and Gaza, and in places like Nepal. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes our affairs easy for us, and that Allah Azza wa Jal grants us the highest levels of Jannah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.